pray. Our Father in heaven, we seek your grace for the preaching of the word, for the hearing of your word. Send your Holy Spirit to bless the preaching of this word and to bless its reception, that we might receive it as the word of God, and we might receive it by true faith, which you alone can give, that we might receive it with great joy and humility. We are creatures, we are sinners, we are before you a holy and majestic and great God, and we have no right whatsoever even to know you, much less to praise you, much less to be saved and delivered by you. And yet all of these things you have graciously given, a revelation of yourself and your glory. You've brought forth praise through us by your Spirit, and you have delivered us from sin and death and guilt and shame through Jesus your Son. And so we praise you, O most glorious and holy God. Be exalted, be greatly praised, and above all gods and above all else in our lives, be greatly praised. Bless your word to the end that you would be so greatly praised. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Turn with me this morning to Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1, and then we're going to take a look at Psalm 96 for the text. And we're looking at verses 15 through 23 of Ephesians chapter 1. For this reason, because I have heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love toward all the saints, I do not cease to give thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you a spirit of wisdom and of revelation in the knowledge of him, having the eyes of your hearts enlightened, that you may know what is the hope to which he has called you, what are the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints, and what is the immeasurable greatness of his power toward us who believe, according to the working of his great might that he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion, and above every name that is named, not only in this age but also in the one to come. And he put all things under his feet and gave him as head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. And then let's turn to Psalm 96. And we're going to look at the entire psalm. And this will be the text for the sermon this morning, as we're considering Lord's Day 47 and the first petition of the Lord's Prayer. O sing to the Lord a new song, sing to the Lord all the earth, sing to the Lord, bless his name, tell of his salvation from day to day. Declare his glory among the nations, his marvelous works among all the peoples. For great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised. He is to be feared above all gods. For all the gods of the peoples are worthless idols, but the Lord made the heavens. Splendor and majesty are before him, strength and beauty are in his sanctuary. Ascribe to the Lord, O families of the peoples, ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Ascribe to the Lord the glory due his name. Bring an offering and come into his courts. Worship the Lord in the splendor of holiness. Tremble before him all the earth. Say among the nations, the Lord reigns. Yes, the world is established. It shall never be moved. He will judge the peoples with equity. Let the heavens be glad, and let the earth rejoice, and let the sea roar, and all that fills it. Let the field exult, and everything in it. Then shall all the trees of the forest sing for joy before the Lord, for he comes to judge the earth. He will judge the world in righteousness, and the peoples in his faithfulness. And so far, the reading of God's holy word. Lord's Day 47 of the Heidelberg Catechism is on page 60 in the back of the blue Psalter hymnal. And we're looking at the first request or the first petition of the Lord's Prayer, "Hallowed be your name," and considering this morning what that means in the light of God's word. Question 122, what does the first request mean?
"Hallowed be thy name" means, help us to really know you, to bless, worship, and praise you for all your works, and for all that shines forth from them, your almighty power, wisdom, kindness, justice, mercy, and truth. And it means, help us to direct all our living, what we think, say, and do, so that your name will never be blasphemed because of us, but always honored and praised.
And so far, our confession. Congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, Proverbs 16, verse 4a says, "The Lord has made all things for himself." It's quite a wonderful grounding of all truth in a very simple statement in very few words. The Lord God has made for himself all things. All things. No human being could ever make a statement like that. Number one, because we don't make things like God makes things. We can produce things and we make things, but we don't make things out of nothing like God has done. We don't make things perfectly like God has made all things. He made all things very good, boys and girls. You know that from the opening chapters of Genesis. All things that God looked at in his creation, and he called it very good. When we make things, it's imperfect. It has flaws. It breaks down. It doesn't last. What God makes, he makes very good. But we also couldn't make a statement like this as human beings, because if we did, it would be rather boastful. It would be excessive bragging. I make all things for myself. As if I'm worthy of that kind of an honor, or as if you are worthy of that kind of honor and glory. Should all things in the world bow down and worship you? Absolutely not. No human being is worth that, you see. God can make this statement about himself, and he's not bragging, and he's not boasting in some kind of a human way, and there's no vanity for God to say something like he says in Proverbs 16, verse 4, because he is worthy of that kind of glory, and he's the only one who is worthy of that kind of glory. He's holy. Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised. None of the other gods of this world are like him. And it is right to say and to confess that all things of the creation ought to bow down to God. All things of the creation ought to worship the holy God who is above all things, because there's no one like him. And really, that's what his holiness means. There's no one like our God. There's none as wise, as powerful, as great. Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. There's no God as loving as our God. There's no God that is true except our God. The God of the Bible, the God who has revealed himself, the God who created all things. He's the only true God. All other gods are false. They're of man's making. They're empty. They don't have eyes that can see or hands that can move. They can't walk for themselves. They are helpless, powerless, and so are all of those who worship them. Only our God is true. So he can make a statement like this, and we can say a prayer as we do to God, "Hallowed be your name," because he's worthy of it. He's worthy of it. There is a perfect, pure love within the Trinity and within or between Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Strength and beauty are in his sanctuary, verse 6. Splendor and majesty are before him. There's no one like him. He is good, he is faithful, he is kind, he's all-knowing, he's all-powerful, he's everywhere present. There's no one like our God. And so this petition of the Lord's Prayer puts us in our proper place before this great and holy God. We're creatures. We're sinful. We're weak. We're helpless in ourselves. And note that the Catechism twice here in answering what this petition means, twice says, "Help us. Help us." Why? Why do we ask for help? To hallow God's name. He is great and holy and majestic and mighty. We are creatures. We are finite, not infinite. We don't last forever. We're not eternal. Our bodies don't last forever. And we're sinful. So we need God's help because we can't hallow his name on our own. First of all, he has to reveal himself to us. Otherwise, we don't even know who we're talking about. That revelation didn't come from you or from me or from any part of this creation. It came from God himself in his word, through his prophets, especially through Jesus Christ, who is the exact imprint of the image of God. He's the radiance of the glory of God, Hebrews 1 tells us. Jesus reveals the Father. We also can't because we're just too weak and powerless to do it. But it isn't also just that we can't, it's also that we won't. We won't do this on our own. We need God's help to hallow his name because we're not going to do it on our own. Ephesians 1 tells us that we need the working of the Holy Spirit, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you a spirit of wisdom and of revelation in the knowledge of him. Verse 17. Unless the Holy Spirit is working in us, we are not going to hallow God's name. We're not going to honor him or praise him, not with our works, not with our words, not with our thoughts. Unless the Holy Spirit is working in us. We cannot do this, we will not do this apart from the Lord Jesus Christ, unless he's delivered us from our sin and misery and brought us into union with this God. We can't do this and we won't do this. We need the gracious working of the Lord. It's by grace we have been saved and not by our works, so that no one may boast. You and I don't hallow God's name at all on our own. So we ask God in this petition twice for help. First of all, to help us to know his holiness. The first part of our answer. Help us to really know you, to bless, worship, and praise you for all your works and for all that shines forth from them. Your almighty power, wisdom, kindness, justice, mercy, and truth. God must reveal himself and his name to us and all the things that he has done. And he's revealed that now in his word. So we know who he is. We know about his divine attributes, but actually everybody knows about his divine attributes. His wisdom, his power, that he exists. You read through Romans 1, verses 18 through 23, especially verse 20, because he's revealed all of this, no one has an excuse. No one will be able to stand before God on the day of judgment and say, "I didn't know anything about you." Because even the trees will clap for joy. Even the hills reveal that they were formed and shaped by a sovereign God. Even all of the rules and the laws and the structure of our society reveals there is a wisdom far beyond mankind that has established good principles of life, of well-being, of order, of law, of safety, of freedom. Man did not come up with these things. They come from a God who is all wise. But unless he tells us about himself, specifically his name, in His holiness and the wonderful working of salvation that He has done, we can't even begin to hallow Him. So He reveals Himself to us in the Word. It's kind of what we do in our own conversations with people. You meet someone for the first time and they say, well, what's your name? Now, our names don't usually by themselves tell a whole lot about us. Maybe our last names will connect us into a broader clan. Oh, you're so-and-so's son or daughter. Or you're related to so-and-so. That's your brother or that's your sister. And that gives a little bit more information to the person who's asking about who you are. But it's a usual way of introducing yourself. My name is such and such. I come from this place. This is what I do or what I'm about or who I am. And God has done the very same thing for us. He has told us repeatedly in His Word what His name is. He is God. He is the Lord, Yahweh. He is the God who provides. He is the God who is almighty. He is the God of the covenant. He is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He is the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. We know who He is. We know what He does. But knowing God isn't just having that knowledge or maybe even memory. Anybody could read the words of Psalm 96 and say, okay, well, I know who your God is. He's great. He's the Lord. And He's called God, and we're to ascribe these certain things to Him. Anybody can read that in plain English or even in their own native language, read that and understand that's who we're talking about. But that's very different than the knowledge that the Catechism is talking about and the knowledge of God that the Bible speaks of. Knowing God means to believe in Him. It isn't just knowing His name. It isn't just memorizing a list of Bible verses. It isn't just reading the plain text of Scripture. To know God means to believe in Him. So what do you know about God? Or more pointedly, what do you believe about God? What do you believe about God from His Word that He has told you about Himself? He's holy. He is great and greatly to be praised. He's the only true God. There is no other God. He deals with His people in faithfulness. He doesn't quit on you. He perseveres. He never lies. He never speaks something that's not true. He never does anything that is unjust. He has no sin. He's not like us. He's not small. He's not weak. He's not unaware. He knows everything. He sees everything. He is also everywhere present by His Holy Spirit. So He's with us here as we worship Him. He's with you as you drive home today. He is with you and your family as you gather around the table for dinner. He's with you when you go to school, boys and girls. He's with you while you sleep. Still quite remarkable that we can close our eyes and enter into unconsciousness for several hours every day and not fear. And we don't fear because He's there, watching, caring, providing, protecting, leading all things in His providence for the good of His people. God never fails. He has no weaknesses. There's nothing about Him that is lacking or deficient in any kind of a way. He is so great that He's incomprehensible. We actually can't understand everything about God, and yet so close to us and so kind and loving that we can know so many things about Him. And we can hallow His name in the power of the Holy Spirit. We have to do this by blessing or sanctifying Him. Verses 7 through 8. Ascribe to the Lord, O families of the peoples. Ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Ascribe to the Lord the glory due His name. Bring an offering and come into His courts. 1 Peter 3:15 says, sanctify the Lord your God in your hearts. What does it mean to bless God or to sanctify Him? It means to ascribe to God the works that properly belong to Him. Ascribe to Him the character that properly belongs to Him. So when you recognize in prayer before God, you're the one who has provided all of these things that I have, because that's what you do. All the goodness that I have seen in my life today has come from you because you are a God of great goodness. You're the fountain of all goodness. Praise you, O Lord, for your justice in working good things. Praise you, O God, for being faithful to me and to my family and to my church and to our community. Praise be to God. We ascribe to God the things that are rightly belonging to His name and to His works. Negatively, okay, we don't do this when we're complaining or we're grumbling. When we grumble or when we complain, what are we saying? God, you're not actually good. If you were good, you'd give me the things that I want, but I have these things instead. You're not very good. Or when we're struggling, God, you're not being faithful. Or when we're not content, God, you're not doing what's best for me in my life. You're supposed to be wise. Why aren't you doing what's best for me in my life? We turn things around when we're grumbling and complaining. Prayer reorients us. No, not complaining, not grumbling, not being discontent. Hallowed be your name. You are good. You are wise. You do what's best. You are faithful, enduringly so, patiently so. Your love never fails. Or when you're bored, you ever say that, boys and girls? I'm bored. Why are you bored? What are we saying when we say, I'm bored? God, why aren't you satisfying my needs in this moment? Why haven't you provided me a different kind of life? Why isn't it filled with better things? Why am I not entertained? I thought you were there with me. We don't think about that when we're expressing boredom. But that's really what we're saying. God, you have failed to provide for me in some kind of a way, so now my life feels deficient. I'm bored. No, this petition reorients us. Your problem is not that you're bored. Your problem is that you're not fully satisfied in the great and holy God who never fails. The problem is you're not looking for the good things in your life that He has provided and putting your trust and hope in Him, the giver of those good gifts. You're not being thankful for the good things that He's given to you. You're not bored, you're sinning. Look to the Lord. Pray this petition. Bless Him. Obey His word. We're to worship Him as well. Verse 9, worship the Lord in the splendor of holiness. Tremble before Him, all the earth. A joyful jubilation, a singing, but also a listening. As we listen to God speak to us from His word. Psalm 8, verse 1, O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is Your name in all the earth. We worship God for all of His works and all that comes from them, especially and primarily His work of salvation in delivering us from our sins, purchasing us with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. We also praise Him, verses 10 through 13. Say among the nations, the Lord reigns. Yes, the world is established. It shall never be moved. He will judge the peoples with equity. Let the heavens be glad and let the earth rejoice. Let the sea roar and all that fills it, and so on. Our petition to hallow God's name is not a private matter only. We privatize a lot of our faith, worship, and prayer. This is public. Let all of creation praise you. It's very public. Let your people praise you. That's public. Let your people gather to praise you, as we're doing right now. That's public. And it's meant to be public, so that the nations may know that the Lord is God, so that the nations may know that He reigns, so that the nations may know that all of the gods that they are putting their hope and trust in right now are empty and false, powerless and vain. Only this God is true. Only this God is powerful. Let the world know it. But they'll not know it if we don't bring forth praise publicly. And so this is not just gathering for worship on Sunday, but this is also when you do works of faith and hope and love. When you fear God in your daily life with your words with your actions. When you show, I don't serve my own ends, I serve God's ends. I serve God's goals. My life is for Him and His glory, not for me. And whatever I do, and whatever I say, it must be in a God-glorifying way. That's our driving aim in life. That's what we are set upon. We set our minds upon that. And this petition reorients our thinking that way as well. I want to live, you want to live, by faith in the Lord, with hope in Him, love for God, love for neighbor, fearing God, keeping His commandments, showing forth the power of Christ's grace in your life. 1 Peter 2, verse 9, as he calls the Christians there in his letter, to show forth the praises of Him who has called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. When you obey God's word, boys and girls, you are showing that you are children of the light and not of the darkness. You've been brought out of the darkness of sin, the darkness of this world, the darkness of the prince of the power of the air, and that dominion of sin. You've been brought out of that. That's not where you live anymore. Or as John says in his first letter, we walk in the light as He is in the light, obeying God's word. And everybody around you sees it. Everybody around you hears the words that you speak. Everyone around you knows your heart and where it is because of what you say and because of what you do. And we are to be oriented entirely towards praising God. Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised. Let Him be feared or obeyed above all the gods. Secondly, we're asking for help to honor His holiness in the second part of this answer. Help us to direct all our living, what we think, say, and do, so that Your name will never be blasphemed because of us, but always honored and praised. When we blaspheme God, this means when we ascribe to God that which does not belong to Him. So when we talked about blessing or sanctifying God just a few moments ago, we said that's when we ascribe to God the things that rightly belong to Him, His character, and His works. When we blaspheme, we are ascribing to God things that don't belong to His character and don't belong to His works. So, for example, God is not the author of sin. God did not create sin. God does not drive us towards sin. He does not encourage sin. He does not condone sin. So whenever someone, whenever we blame God in one way or another for sin, that's blasphemy. He's not the author of sin. He doesn't lead His people into sin. When we condone sin, either our own or someone else's, we're saying God is okay with sin. God is not okay with sin. God punishes sin. God hates sin. Sin is contrary to God. Sin is rebellion against God. Sin is dishonor to the holy and majestic and awesome God. It has no part or place with Him. Sin belongs not to the Lord, but sin is ours. We sinned. It's our rebellion, instigated by the devil, tempted by the devil, our first parents, Adam and Eve, but all of us as well, conceived and born in sin and also committing sin in our lives. We may not blaspheme the Lord. Sometimes we have thoughts and ideas like this. Or again, when we're grumbling and we're complaining. Or maybe we speak about certain things in the world as if they are an entity unto themselves. I sure hope the weather holds up today. Well, I promise you that it won't by itself, because it's not an entity in and of itself. I hope the weather cooperates. I don't even know what that means. You don't know what that means either. You mean, I hope the Lord in His providence sends us favorable weather? Is that what you mean? It is what you mean. But we don't say it like that. We should say it like that, though. Why? Because we don't want to ascribe to weather things that don't belong to it, and we do want to ascribe to God things that belong to Him. The economy is not an entity unto itself. The government is not an entity unto itself. You are not an entity unto yourself. All of these things, and you included, are in the hands of Almighty God. His providence, His wisdom, His grace, His provision, His guidance, His strength. A total reliance on the Lord. We have that. We have a total reliance on God. Ascribe to the Lord, verse 8, the glory due His name. Bring an offering and come into His courts. Bring yourself into His courts as an offering. And ascribe to Him the glory that is due His name. I am nothing. You are everything. I have nothing to bring. You have provided everything. I can do nothing. You have done it all. O great and glorious, holy, majestic God, praise be to Your name. Oh, that all of our thoughts and words and actions would be filled with the love of Christ. Love from Him, love for Him, love unto Him. We are helpless to pray this way. We are helpless to live this way apart from the Lord Jesus Christ. We're saying, help us to direct all of our living. You and I wouldn't have a living if it were not for Jesus Christ. We would not be alive. We would still be dead in our sins and trespasses. We would be completely incapable, completely helpless, still in the pit and the mire of our own sinfulness, and completely incapable of delivering ourselves. Dead in sins and trespasses. That's what we would still be were it not for the Lord Jesus Christ. Were it not for the great love of God with which He loved us, by grace we have been saved. Jesus died to give you life. Jesus laid down His life to raise yours up. Jesus came into the depths of our sin and misery to bring us out cleansed in His blood and clothed in His righteousness. Not naked, but clothed. Not orphans, but children of God. Not filthy, but clean. In the precious, precious blood of Jesus Christ. So that we even have a living to speak of. And now we're called to direct that life that Jesus paid for, to direct that to the honor and to the praise of our holy God. Our psalm ends with judgment, and He has judged us in Jesus Christ. And that's God's greatest glory, to save sinners in truth and mercy, in grace and in justice, in compassion and righteousness. Praise Him for it. Honor Him for it. Lift up His name for it. You are a people separated specially unto God. You were born for God's glory. You've been born again for God's glory. And there is no one, nor is there anything in your life that is worthy of the praise and the glory that you must give to God. So show it in this petition. Show it in your life by submitting your whole self, your whole life to God. Fearing Him, reverent service, humble service. The Catechism speaks about our thinking and our saying and our doing. Whatever it is that you're thinking, ask yourself, can I think this thing? Should I think this thing for the glory of God? Whatever it is that you want to say, before you say it, ask yourself, can I say this thing? Should I say this thing for the glory of God? Before you do anything, ask yourself, can I do this thing? Should I do this thing for the glory of God? If we would hallow God's name, we would think less of ourselves, less of what we want, less of what we deserve, less of what belongs to us. And we would say more and more in life, God be praised. And we would want more of what God wants of us and what God deserves from us and what belongs to God that He has given to us for His praise. Proverbs 16, verse 4a again. The Lord God has made all things for Himself, you, your family, the church, your work, all of creation, all things. The Lord God has made all things